Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Cure Talks Cancer Podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, and healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best: provide cancer updates, research, and education. Lorelei Colbert and her husband were preparing for a move to a military base in Japan when a routine physical exam turned into something that would become not so routine. As a military spouse, Lorelei Colbert said the physical was to just check the box that she wouldn't need specialized care when her and her husband arrived in Japan. Colbert said that during the exam, she asked the physician about birth control and says that the physician okayed the request and wanted to do a pap smear, but that a breast exam wasn't needed. However, when the nurse in the room questioned that decision, Lorelei sensed she should get her breasts examined. A quick examination of her breasts identified a lump, which after further testing led to a diagnosis of grade 3 triple-negative breast cancer. Colbert has gone through several rounds of dose-dense chemotherapy since her diagnosis in August, with the last round occurring on January 25th. In this episode, Colbert discusses her cancer journey, as well as a decision she made to challenge people to commit acts of kindness, beginning on the day she started her first round of chemotherapy, and what that challenge means to her.
Let's rewind back to August. I did not think anything was wrong, and my husband is in the military. So we had orders that we were going to be moving to Japan. And in order to do that, as a military spouse, you need to, there's called an EFMP program, and essentially you have to get checked out and just check the box that you do not need specialized care while you're going to these other countries, other bases. So in that appointment, I went in for a physical. I had asked about birth control, and the physician, who I've never seen before, she wound up being an OBGYN doctor and had said, okay, actually we can do the next steps for that. We just need to do a pap, but I checked your chart. We do not need to do a breast exam. And the nurse in the room, who was just a magnificent soul the entire day, the whole morning, I kept telling her, wow, you're making my morning. You're just so kind. You're really making this a joy. And it's a doctor's appointment. You know, like a lot of times you don't really enjoy doctor's appointments, but to have someone who really enjoys what they're doing and spread that positive energy to you, I could just feel it in my heart. She looked up and she said, you're not going to do the breast exam. And because she said that, I knew in my gut she was meant to be in my life for a reason, and I requested the breast exam. So we did it that day in August. It was August 26th, and the doctor checked the first breast and it was clear. And then on the second breast, she found a 3-centimeter lump.
Moving forward, what were some of the next steps? What transpired and what did you find out eventually?
Yep. So the next steps, I had an ultrasound on my breast area, and that determined the size of the lump. So in that initial appointment, we didn't know that it was 3 centimeters, but we knew it was a pretty big mass, one that I had never felt before, which was pretty alarming in the summer months when you're in and out of bathing suits, everything else. And I went in the next week for an ultrasound. And because of the characteristics of the lump, I actually had the option to either wait 6 months to get a biopsy or get a biopsy right away. And I just said, I need to get this biopsy. There's a 3-centimeter mass in my body. We need to know what this is. So a week or so later, I had the biopsy. And after that appointment, it was determined that I was facing breast cancer.
So, you know, you go through all of this, you're in your mind and you're thinking you'll be moving to Japan very soon, but then you get this diagnosis. So, you know, what were your thoughts, you know, hearing this news and facing this diagnosis?
So the day I received the call for the diagnosis, I was, truthfully, Ryan, I was prepared for them to tell me that I had breast cancer, because when you're waiting for those results, I was always an athlete. You have to mentally prepare for anything that's going to come your way. And I was waiting for them to say, okay, if they told me I had the most aggressive breast cancer, let's go. It's game time. But that initial call, she started the conversation with, "Your pap came back abnormal." So what that means is when they sample the tissues in your cervix, that came back abnormal. And I am actually the namesake in my family for my grandmother who passed away from ovarian cancer. Now, that's not always tagged to ovarian cancer, but in my mind was, oh my gosh, there's a different area of me that is an area of concern. So she started the conversation with that. And then she proceeded to tell me that the lump was cancerous. So it was a huge surprise because, in my mind, it was we might not just be facing breast cancer. Luckily, we are. Don't mean to spoil the ending here, but we are just facing breast cancer. That abnormality required other biopsies and appointments on top of the breast cancer follow-up appointments. But that initial day, I called my husband right away. He came home. There were a lot of tears. We ordered some amazing, delicious food because I don't know about you, but I'm a foodie and I need some. I'm like, we'll get through this, but we need to eat something delicious. We called our family. And that night we made a game plan and just said, whatever we have to do to beat this, we are in.
So, talking about game plan, what was the decision? What has your treatment been like?
Yep. So after that day on September 15th, I had a couple more appointments. At that point, it wasn't known what type of breast cancer I'd be facing. It wasn't until a couple weeks later that we found out it was triple negative breast cancer. It was grade three, super aggressive. And after meeting with the surgeon and the medical oncologist, it was decided I would do chemo first and then surgery. So my program is dose dense, AC, and then T, the Taxol, which I'm on right now. And I'm doing that dose dense as well. And after that, I will be getting surgery probably 4 to 6 weeks after my last chemo.
And when is your last chemo scheduled for?
January 25th. So after Monday, only one left.
So then, something about you as well, as you're going through this journey, you started this Chemo to Kindness Challenge. Can you kind of walk us through what the challenge is, and in particular, what led you to want to start this?
Absolutely. So the Chemo to Kindness Challenge was ignited and fueled by that positivity and kindness of the nurse that essentially saved my life. Her kindness absolutely changed my world because had she not questioned if I needed the breast exam, I don't think in my mind, I don't think I would have asked for it, right? So when I was initially diagnosed, and a lot of friends and family were reaching out asking, what can we do? Can we send you flowers? Can we send you food? What do you need? I just kept thinking, okay, well, I always live my life by seize the day and make an impact. I love that. I've always been that type of personality, a servant leader. How can I just pay it forward to others? And I thought, this chemo journey sounds like it's going to knock me out. And truthfully, it has. So I just thought, I want to do something that pays it forward. And I'm in marketing and I was started, drafting some things on my phone and I sent it out to my best friends like, hey, what do you think of this Chemo to Kindness Challenge? And the idea was to inspire others to do acts of kindness and tell me about it. Lift me up by paying it forward to others. This is a really dark time in my life. What makes me the happiest? It's not going to be a gift. It's going to be knowing that you did something good in the world. And we launched the Chemo to Kindness Challenge on the day I started chemotherapy on October 19th with the goal of 1,600 acts of kindness for 1,600 weeks of treatment. So I have 8 rounds of chemo in a 2-week cycle, which is 16 weeks. And through talking to other survivors, they had told me, I was talking with one survivor and she had construction paper that she would rip off each week for the weeks that she made it through. And I just thought, okay, so I'm looking at 16 weeks. How can we make this a really inspiring thing? So that is how the Chemo to Kindness Challenge came to be.
With that being said, we're now, you know, a few weeks into the challenge. How are things going? How have people responded to this?
It has been incredible. So uplifting, so inspiring. In fact, Ryan, you said that you went to my website. That wasn't around when I launched the challenge. At first, I just thought, tell me about the acts of kindness. But I was getting inundated with updates and I couldn't keep up and I couldn't keep count. So I thought, okay, I need a new streamlined process here. So I wound up launching the website, I think round two or three of Chemo. But I am so proud to say that as of last night, when I looked at the count, we had more than 1,020 acts of kindness tracked around the world in different countries, different states, people just doing good and paying it forward to one another.
Now, with this kind of being in mind and this topic, is there perhaps one or two stories that really stood out to you that, you know, you keep going back to or you keep thinking about that's come from this challenge?
There has been quite a few that have stuck out to me, and it's so interesting to go through chemo and cancer during COVID, but also launch a kindness challenge. We've had at least three different countries off the top of my head submit acts of kindness because of lockdowns or layoffs due to COVID around the world. We've had someone pay for the education of someone for a year in another country. And I really love the acts of kindness where I read stories of people being kind to themselves where they may not have in the past. And that includes getting a mammogram or for my survivor friends, maybe just having an Epsom salt bath. But seeing that this is spreading awareness and people are going to get checked, I think those stories have been really uplifting.
So kind of with that being mentioned, talking about spreading awareness a little bit and the kindness aspect of it, in the end, what would you say kind of is your goal with this challenge? Is it to both raise awareness, but also try to get people to be kinder and nicer, especially in these times that we find ourselves in?
Absolutely. I mean, the main goal of this is to get me through the 16 weeks. That's a selfish goal, right? But unselfishly, the goal is to spread a light, impact others, and spread awareness, where I think many people don't realize when you're in your 20s that this can be you. I mean, I've done the Susan G. Komen 3-day walk. I've worked with American Cancer Society Relay for Life in my hometown, in college, in my career. I never expected this. I thought as much as I've poured into those organizations, you think you might have a little bit of an idea. You have no idea what it's like until you go through it. So that is really what has also helped guide this, the awareness component and just inspiring others to maybe get checked out and just be good.
And kind of with that being said as well, you know, what advice would you have to others out there kind of going through these uncertain times of a diagnosis or kind of trying to get through treatment? I mean, you know, right now you seem very upbeat and positive. So how do you kind of encapsulate that and try and get that to other people's attention so that they can get through their treatments as well?
Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing for getting through the treatments, and this is something that I've talked about with my nurses who are amazing, is being a part of something that's bigger than yourself. And I am naturally very upbeat. And one of my nurses had questioned at the beginning of all this, wow, you have great energy. We're going to see if that lasts because chemo is going to take a toll on you. And every day I'm not like this. However, being a part of something that's bigger than me I think of all the time I've spent reading these acts of kindness, or I've been doing weekly video updates, and I give just an insider's look at what I'm facing, the side effects. And I've branched that into a Monday motivation, where each week we have a new motivation that we carry with us. And I say we as the community that's been following along with me. And being a part of that community, being a part of something bigger, has been so helpful. And one of the weeks of the Monday motivation, the motivation of the week was be your own advocate. And I can't say that enough, especially if you're going through this. And I tried to explain this on the video, where had I not been my own advocate, and if I didn't listen to my gut with that initial nurse, or when I had the ultrasound and I could have waited 6 months, the biopsy showed that my cancer was greater than 80% of the cells actively dividing. So had I waited 6 months, who knows where we would be? And I think if you're a part of something bigger than yourself and you be your own advocate, what feels right in your heart, you are going to succeed to the best of your ability.
And also too, you mentioned that you're not always like this as you're going through your treatment as well. On the flip side of that, to other patients and people out there as well, you know, what advice do you have for those negative days, those tough days that it's very hard to get through, you know, with this, you know, kindness challenge and all this other stuff? Just kind of, what advice do you have for those patients who are just trying to get through those negative times?
Mm-hmm. Those hard days, they will definitely come. And in this journey, I've had hard days where I've lost my vision due to side effects from medication. My bones have been achy. You just feel nauseous every second of the day. And you just had to dig deep and think that each step of this is a step forward. One, I'm sure you've talked about this with other cancer thrivers, is the crazy time when your hair falls out. And even that day, as crazy as it was, and I cried, you know, and I had cut my hair was long. I cut it before I started chemo because I was like a warrior. Like, this is my uniform going after it. But that day, it was painful to know that your hair's falling out, but you have to just dig deep and realize that it's a step forward. Your medication is working. And I think that on my hardest days has been what has kept me going. And in today's world with social media, you can reach out to a lot of people with the kindness challenge. I feel so grateful that so many people have reached out, but it's also to other survivors or people going through this, think about what makes you happy. What brings you joy? Is it connecting with other people? Then figure out what avenue you have for that. Or is it perhaps writing or drawing or painting? You know, you might be able to do some things that really bring you joy on your hardest days that you have more time on your hands.
Well, Lorelai, I think that pretty much wraps it up for the questions that I had kind of prepared or thought about. Is there something I may not have asked or that you think is important to mention or discuss about your journey, this challenge, or just kind of cancer in general?
You know, off the top of my head, I don't think so. I think it's just make a mark, make your mark. You can take this journey how you want it to be. And you can decide if you want to communicate it out to the world, if you don't want to communicate it, if you want to launch something that's bigger than yourself, but this is your journey. And as long as you be your own advocate, again, I think that's the important thing. The last thing is, if anyone is interested after hearing about the challenge, they can take a look at my website on LoreleiColbert.com. There's a page of the acts. There's a tracker that lets you know how many acts we've tracked. And on the impact page, we have more than 70 nonprofits that have been impacted through this challenge. So if you're thinking you want to do something kind and you don't know where to start, that is a great page to get inspired.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.